You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
I have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
And Bunchy Bear.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Cool.
This is the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends, the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend podcast with a special guest. Bunchy Bear's back.
I'm back.
In case you weren't listening last episode, we gave away Christmas gifts and we all got bears with Rebecca Bunch's face on them.
Which I think we failed to actually describe when we were when we were actually giving them out. I think that we completely overlooked
the fact
that.
We got really excited.
Well, yeah. We did. We didn't really describe anything, but we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening back and it's like, you got a fidget spinner with poop on it. It sounds like exactly like that when you hear it. But when you look at it, it's a fidget spinner with emoticons of poop.
Yes.
Smiling.
Well, I still have that one because Sarah hasn't picked up her poop fidget spinner. So
don't
I can take a picture
put
of that and
your fidget spinners in your butts.
Oh, speaking of gifts, I have a before and after picture of my knockers that I'll have to get to Moosh
to update on the
to
Twitter.
Pass on. Yeah, to update on the Twitter because they did. They grew to, as Jess calls it, Barbie size.
Yes. they're like 100 times bigger than they were. What's the texture like, though?
So the thing is, like, I kind of forgot. Oh, here, you want to touch them?
Yeah, might as well.
Touch my knockers. I kind of forgot to take them out of water. Well, I forgot to put them back in. Let's start at the beginning. So we left here, and I put them in during the episode, and oh, that's a good idea.
They are as large as
oh
a solo
God.
Cup.
Yes. But I didn't read the directions, and the directions said that it takes, smile Moosh with those. Oh, move your head so you're not in front of the mic. Oh, there you go. Yeah. There's going to be so many pictures. But it turns out that these boobs take 72 hours to grow, and they don't start showing growth until 2 hours after you put them in water. Mm. And so I put them in during the episode, and it had not been 2 hours since I put them in, so they really didn't change. And so I dumped the water, took them home, and I was like, sometime before the episode, I'll put them back in water. I remembered on Sunday night, and I was like, yes, in
timing.
They may be stuck to paper towels, but that'll go away.
And they're kind of slimy, but yeah, they're still firm.
Well, because I also then forgot them when I went to work. And so I was like, shoot. And so I had to drive in a hustle to get back home because, you know, everything's far away and traffic and blah. But I grabbed the knockers so that I could make sure I brought them back. And then since I was already there, I love calling them knockers. I grabbed Bunchy Bear because I was like, lady, if I'm already here, you deserve another hello.
Yeah, another time in the studio.
Yeah, we like to snuggle too. I'm a snuggler.
My bear has been living in my car. she's been in my front, or she was in my front seat until New Year's Eve. Well, I guess New Year's Day, whenever that like transition was. Because I worked that evening, but then my coworkers had all gone out to, you know, celebrate New Year's, and then I got out of work at 1:00. I was like, well, let's go to a bar that's still open at 1:00. Turns out a lot of them were closing. But
that's weird.
Huh. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then as soon as like I get to the bar they're at, they're like, let's go to this one because this one will be open. And also, can you be our designated driver?
What?
I was like, if I'm the designated driver on New Year's Eve because I was working, I have to put the bear away.
Oh, but it's like, why did I come all this way to be your DD? Like,
well, I still had a beer.
Especially
to
spring it out.
Good, a beer.
I know, but it was fine.
It's one thing if you know when you're leaving.
Exactly.
But... Yeah.
Someone needs to tell you that at the beginning of the night. You don't go somewhere and be like, guys, I'm ready to hang out. And they're like, will you be our DD? And then you're like, why?
Oh yeah,
I can't turn
so
around
nicer
now.
Nicer than me, I'd be like, "That's what Uber is for."
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know why I was so nice. I was just like, yeah, okay. Because I had like I had been working all night already. So I was just like, yeah, I'll just keep driving a car. And we, as long as we get to like one place where I was just so worried. Toledo, everything seems to close at midnight or 1 or 9. And there's no bars that stay till 2, which is a normal close out a bar time.
Smaller conservative town.
Oh, that's kind of.
All I want to do is close out a bar. So I was like, well, this is my.
It's real easy.
Yeah. So anyways.
You want to close out a bar, go to Toledo.
Do it at 9 p.m.
9 p.m. You can be like, I'm so badass.
You can close out a bar 5 times in a night if you plan it.
Yeah. Oh, you guys, it'd be so much fun. We can have close out night.
Just feel like real alcoholics.
Close out while your show's out. And then, I don't even know what that means. But yeah. And then be like, look, we had a drink at each place. We're so great. This is the ultimate bar hopping.
And I still got home in time for the news.
Yeah.
You sadly could.
Oh, Moosh, I can tell your camera work on this one.
Because that's what I do.
It's a positive thing.
It is positive. I remember telling a Tinder guy once, because he's like, what do you do? Or whatever. Like, and I was like, I'm still at work. Watch the news. My story's coming up. Watch it.
Yeah.
And we never got together.
Aww.
The end.
Let's get together. Don't think so. You're not as great as your pick.
You won't know that till you meet someone. So
didn't know till I met you, but I kind of guessed. Didn't think it was worth it. So I ditched you at the curb. Didn't answer with a word.
You guys are just letting me go. This is great.
I'm like, everyone's just waiting.
I want to see where this goes.
We're like silently,
see where the story goes.
Wide-eyed, watching.
It's fascinating. Normally, like, man, I don't know what to do with this. This is beautiful. Now I'm just going to be singing all episode. You guys have encouraged me too much.
But you're on a flow and it rhymes. So there's no need to stop you.
Thank you. All those years of improv and teaching small children has gotten me to this place where I can make a song out of anything.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Aw. By the way, the songs in this episode are so good.
Yeah, they're fun.
Oh my God. See, I'm going to say no.
No!
I didn't like them, but my disclaimer is I might still be depressed from whenever. I don't know. Because
yeah.
I thought it was just holididays for a while, and then it's, 2 weeks into January? I'm like, I'm still sad. Like,
Mine's lingering, too.
So it's maybe that's just kind of why I wasn't super pumped, but... For either one of them.
Yeah. But no, it is. It's like that time. It's the January blues, you know? Like, I think the holidays are just the spark for sadness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get the holidays and you think to yourself, this year's going to be different. We're going to have such a great time. All the family's going to get along. I'm finally going to be shown as someone who's loved and appreciated by everyone. There's not going to be any favoritism. And then you get there. You go through the whole experience and then you're like, well...
Guess not.
Guess I shouldn't have been hoping and stuff. Not this year. Those are some unrealistic expectations.
I appreciate all that optimism.
Yeah, I didn't go into
every
it with
year.
That.
Every year I go into the holidays like that, and every year just crashes and burns. And I'm like, why?
That's why I wait till like New Year's for the optimism. I'm not banking it on Christmas and family because that's like a surefire wah wah wah.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Why people are so into the New Year? Yeah. They're like, next year's gonna be better.
Mm-hmm.
I finally understand it, you guys.
But then all that pressure. But see, like for me, that's where like the pressure's like it should be there, and then you're like, well, I'm still sad or tired or maybe I have the flu, like whatever that feeling is still there, and you're like, oh. But it's a new year.
Yeah.
Where's the new me?
Yeah.
Why is it still old me? But I don't know. Maybe therapists have good deals around this time of year.
Yeah, they should. Also, you know what? Should have
some
good
coupons
deals?
Or something.
Yeah. But like seasonal depression lights.
Mm-hmm.
They should be on like 50% off or 30% discount or whatever the case may be. There should be a discount on those puppies right now because we need them. And I have one. But unfortunately, last time I used it, it gave me a headache.
It's a light? What does it?
It's
what
a
does
light.
This do?
This is so great.
Stimulate vitamin D production or something?
So what happens is like during the wintertime, and I don't know all the things. I know enough to sound somewhat decent, but understand I probably have gaps in my speech. But these lights, during the wintertime, we get less hours of sunlight, not only because of the sun being out less, but also it's cold, so we don't go out
inside
as much. Yeah. So these lights are supposed to simulate natural sunlight.
Okay.
And so what you're supposed to do is I have a traveling one so I can carry it around all my rooms with me, which is a great idea. And you're supposed to put it at eye level, but not directly in front of you, but off to the side.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to work for like half an hour to an hour. And it after a while, it really does work.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I think last time I put it too directly and that might have been why.
Yeah. You're like staring at a light for an hour.
Why I had a light sensitivity migraine.
You had to get one of those pairs of like the big sunglasses that people have to wear for eye surgery.
No, I had to become a vampire for a few days. Like I used it one night and then I went to work the next day and like halfway through the day I got this horrible migraine and I tried dimming my screen. I tried turning off the lights. The person I share a suite with, I'm just like, sorry, dude, these lights are going to have to turn off because I'm dying. He's like, why don't you just go home? And so I did, which is great because halfway through the drive, I'm like, I can't take this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to hide the rest of the day in the dark.
So you ended up losing sunlight.
I lost sunlight from misuse of a sunlight.
And
the irony
mechanism. Yeah.
Feeding on some souls, either innocent or potentially guilty as well.
I wanted to feed on some souls for sure. I was feeling mighty sad because I'm like, here I am just hiding in the dark. Isn't this great? I'll turn a hallway light on so I don't, you know, feel like something's going to get me from the closet.
So it doesn't feel totally sad.
Yes.
Just a little sad.
I still felt mostly sad. And then I was like, who can I sad text? No one. Nobody cares.
Nobody wants to hear this.
I know. So I just sat there.
Yep. We sit there and ruminate in our depression. Yes. Like, nobody wants to hear me be depressed.
And
then I was
exactly. And then I'm like, I can't even play my online games that usually like pass the time because
my eyes hurt.
My eyes hurt. No, candy is crushed.
Oh. That's beautiful. And Candy Crush would be really too much for a migraine because it's so bright and colorful.
Yes, everything on the screen was too bright. I was like, I can't even check my Snapchats.
Those make me sad to check because I always check them on weekends when I'm at work. Aww. And it's always like, oh, look at this person having fun.
Yeah, everybody's having a great time.
Everyone's having so much fun. And like, obviously, I'm glad, but if I would just, well, you can only check them in 24 hours.
Yes.
Like, at least the stories, you only have so long. So you have to check them on the weekend, but I'm always just like, come on, guys.
It's
have less
though.
Fun.
Yes, exactly.
Or send your fun directly to me so I can check it in like 3 days on a Monday. Maybe that's the new request.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's a good idea.
It's a good solution because I want to see people having fun. I just don't want to feel bad about
myself. Yeah, you want to see it when it's your weekend.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, you're having fun.
Or even at like,
too.
I don't know. Maybe in the daytimes. Maybe Sunday. Maybe I should start doing like Sunday mornings.
Oh,
like,
there we go.
So it's not like directly
Sunday
when people
morning.
Are having.
Oh,
oh, geez.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Like I hate, and of course it's one of those things, right? Like I always check all the social media when I'm in the worst of moods because I'm like, let me see other people have fun so I can just like dig myself deeper in a hole.
Even
I want to see how, exactly. I want to see how everyone's life is better than mine right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I do that? Yes, I can. Thanks, social media.
Thanks for helping.
Exactly.
Did you guys have a lot of friends quit Facebook? I know you've done this on and off, Jim, but.
I haven't had a lot of friends. Nope.
And I had like 4 friends quit Facebook.
Wow.
I think one has definitely stuck. One is back. The other two I don't notice because I didn't care.
Oh, you're married. You're not. Whatever.
Yeah,
don't care.
But it was like it was like a week before everyone was like just prepping and telling everyone like I'm going dark. I'm not going to be on the Facebook anymore. And I was just like, you guys, no, no way. That's
it's
like,
so hard because you do like want to keep in touch with people, I guess, but. At the same, like, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I still want to, I don't know if it's a compulsion that I can't control to where I think I need to like use this thing to see what people are doing. But really it is completely like I shouldn't care
it's like,
at all.
Yeah, it's a weird compulsion because it's like, I want to do it. I want to touch my phone, but also it doesn't actually make me feel better or worse when I do it. I know they say you get like that spike of endorphins, but I don't even know
dopamine,
if that's true anymore.
I can full on admit, like, I'm actually addicted to my phone. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting there and I'm not doing anything, I just mindlessly grab my phone or I just mindlessly grab it. And then I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. And I stop myself and I put it down. And then 10 minutes later, I do it again. It's like this very vicious repetitive cycle.
Yeah. I know I have the compulsion. Like, I can't. There are certain times when if my mood starts to kind of like dip because I'm doing something that's like just mindless or draining, mm-hmm. I'll grab the phone real quick and stare at something, and like I can feel that little stimulation kind of like hit.
Just enough.
Just a little, yeah. And I'm sure it's not healthy, but at the same time, the things that I do during the day, like my job, is to me so miserable that like that little spike in dopamine is like
this got me through.
If I don't do it, I might just like quit my job and like disappear.
Just it would be so much worse.
Yeah,
there was
without the Facebook stimulant, I'd become homeless.
Well, like one of those lists that goes around all the time is always like, these are the top 5 ways people waste time at work, and those come out like every 3 months, even.
Yeah.
But what, you know, it came out. Everyone's talking about it in media prep stuff. And it's all just like surfing the internet, watching YouTube videos, checking social media.
Yeah.
And I just get so mad. I'm like, why? If you have time at work to do those things, why not take the moment to just like check it, be engaged, and then go back to your task?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Stop making yourself feel bad for...
Yeah.
It's because we're supposed to have a 6-hour work day. People are not productive after That's 6 hours.
4 days a week or something like that. Too. Yeah.
4 days a week or 6 hours. But they have done studies that say like a person can only stay engaged with like your work day for about 6 hours. Yeah. So you're wasting 2 of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Like, I think that's why another reason we have to take all these breaks at work, because you're just like, for one, I'm unhappy with my life. Part of the reason I'm unhappy with my life is because I have to spend so much time at the stupid work, because then it's 8 hours and then I have to take another hour or half hour for my lunch break. And of course, that doesn't come out of the 8 hours. That's tacked on top of it.
And then there's driving to and from.
Driving to and fro. Yeah.
My job is now requiring us to clock in.
Oh, those dicks.
I know. And we're all like, it just makes me so mad.
What am I, 5?
Exactly. We're adults. And the time clock is far away from where most of us start our work.
Oh, God. So you have to get there even earlier.
Mm-hmm, and I don't work behind a computer. I like work behind a camera and I move stuff and I'm in a car. And like my first 5-10 minutes is like, I got to set this car up, ready to go, get my stuff, my person, figure out what my story is, who I'm going to talk to. And it's just, it's so... Like, why do I want to come in early? And they're not going
to. Nobody wants to come in early.
I know.
Nobody wants to come in early to work.
Mm-hmm.
No one.
So, and then I was really mad about it. I had to take the whole drive to work to like talk myself out of it. But then my coworkers were just as equally mad, because we all should be. We're all adults.
Yes.
And we don't like, why does the company want to track all the extra work we don't actually tell them that we're doing?
Yeah,
I think that's the point that's gonna get frustrating, is like, we all work very hard and there's a lot of times where we should be clocked out or, whatever. But now they're going to see all the extra work we do.
So what, are they going to pay you more? Because that'd be great, at least.
I don't know yet. We'll see if it actually like ups, if they actually record to the minute or if they like round up or whatever. Whatever.
So sucks. But yeah, because it's one of those things, and it's a new policy. It's not like you came in with this policy.
It was probably a policy that always existed, but everyone didn't do it, so.
Because it's stupid.
Exactly. And then you look at someone like Rebecca and Paula and Daryl, and they never work when they're on the clock.
They may be the other side of the extreme, but still, it's just really dumb.
Well, it just goes into, like, if you can do your work and...
Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if it was just kind of like, hey, we're going to pay you this much, get it done in the amount of time it takes.
Yeah. And it's never that easy.
No. And even if someone's salary, which is kind of the theory behind that, they give you more work than you can get done in that amount of time.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to feel like they're getting gypped.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's across all levels, from like the lowest level work to just like the highest, like lawyer, politician.
Yeah.
Maybe not them, but.
Well, you know what I also find fascinating? The fact that, like, I've started to know, well, I mean, it's been around forever and I'm behind on the game because I'm a super naive person and optimism is the name of my game. But the idea that the people who make more money are the ones who get, like, the free lunches and the special dinners, and we, the people who do not make that much, we're the ones who get to cater those events, or we're the ones who get to, like, eat the scraps when they're done, or we have to pay for our food on the side so that we can work their event. And it's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like, I make less than you. You don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
You should donate your sandwich to me.
I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry in my poor life.
I'm so tired.
Yes. Oh, speaking of which, I stole my badge on. I'll take that off.
Nice. So we, now we don't know who you are.
Yeah, the
anonymity,
the incentivizing for like inequality to perpetuate is just
crazy.
Yeah, disheartening. But it, you know, it keeps going. You're not gonna like income inequality is not gonna. I don't see any shot at ever doing away with it.
No,
because the people who get there, who like make it to that level, they don't want to like take any steps back.
No,
for the
of course
sake
not.
Of anybody else, they're not.
They don't even
like,
want to like do the thank you kind of thing because that shows that there's income inequality or whatever the case may be.
Well, and to get to that point, you do work hard.
Well,
most
cases. But we all work hard.
But but that's the thing. Like your feeling is always more important than anyone else's. So you're like, well, I worked hard. I deserve it.
I did.
Yeah. And unless you've come from like so little and you've been poor and so like pathetic, those are the people that get it like through all levels of income. But it's people who were like okay for a while and then kind
of and it's one of those things that they've also shown those pictures or the, you know, like the comics where they say like, oh, here's the thing that's different about these two groups. Yeah, they both worked really hard, but this one started at a level that they can't reach the same as the person who had all these opportunities, the best of schooling, someone who was willing to pay for their books and blah blah blah. And so it is, it's I'm just very frustrated with the whole system.
You have no idea.
I do have an idea.
I know you do. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I
Bunchy Bear doesn't have an idea, though, because she grew up in privilege.
She did. And Nathaniel did, too. And
Bunchy Bear. That's why you grip her so hard. Just like, I own you.
She needs love, too.
She needs
and
love.
Honestly, I need love. And so Bunchy Bear is going to give it to me, damn it.
She may be privileged, but I don't know.
She's still human.
She's still.
Aww.
She gets it. She's still nice.
She's cushy.
She's a bit fairy.
She still supports, you know.
Did you say she still supports Trump?
No,
gonna go
I was going to say charter schools, but the opposite. Or not. I don't remember. I don't know what's good anymore.
all the good. You know what was good this episode?
This was.
I enjoyed it.
Not. The beginning for me was very slow, and then it kind of ramps up. I'm going to do it's the quick recap. It's season 3
episode 8.
No, I'm stumbling on words.
That was so cute. I was like, this is the one you get for free.
This is the free one. Everyone else you pay for.
This is the one you get for free, doll.
I'm going to freestyle the recap.
Yeah, so this is the first episode back from the mid-season break. And it was called Nathaniel Needs My Help.
Oh.
And we knew this for weeks, like 3-4 weeks since they've had a new episode.
Yeah.
It was a while. So I don't know about anyone in this room, but I was like, well, he's going to run away or something. Like, I felt
Nathaniel's going to run away?
Yeah, I figured maybe he would just get frustrated with her. Oh. And she had done some running away and Paula had done some running away or whatever. No, this wasn't the first one back.
There was the getting over Jeff, but that was kind of, I don't know when that episode was.
Wasn't that right around?
Yeah, no, that was,
Christmas,
okay, never mind. It's not the first one back because
there
was the Paula one.
So this is Christmas.
Whatever. I am completely lost.
So glad it's done.
Either way, I feel like we've known this episode title for a while.
Stupid.
And I was like, he's gonna
really
run away,
fun.
But the help he needs is just daddy issues, which we've known
and
he has.
He needs love.
He needs love and he needs his father.
He's so excited about Bunch loving him.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess it opens on them in their relationship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it does. Her staring at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While
Rebecca.
He sleeps.
Yep. Creepily, obsessively staring at Nathaniel, who deserves it because he's great and like built and beautiful.
Yeah.
And deserves to be looked at.
Mm.
And he so
like a Greek god.
I don't know. So she's a little weird about it, but he's like meeting that affection with affection back.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, you love me. I'm going to get weird and I'm going to go missing in action, or I'm going to like pretend to friend zone you while we still fuck, or whatever the other boys had been doing. He's just like, yeah, no, you're my girlfriend. I'm going to go take a shower and we're going to go to Beverly Hills. And he's doing healthy things where she'll like suggest something unhealthy, like skip work and hang out with me. He'd be like, no, but I'm going to do a nice thing for you after work.
Yeah.
Like all these really normal relationship things.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, this is what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super cool. And I'm sure it would
take notes.
It would be super cool for her, but she's still caught up in her own neuroses of it all because she freaks herself out. She sniffs his shirt. She goes to her therapist and talks about how great the shirt smelled. And she's very ashamed of it, but I don't know. It seems pretty normal. And then he's like, I don't know. What he says, therapist things. He's like, don't take it too extreme, but you know,
intimacy
be careful.
And affection are
it's fine. Things are good. Just be careful. Which you know, moderation's not her key. So I don't know how that, how she takes that at first. Because we go right, we go into a scene where we get to the B story, which is Daryl is still going to have a baby. And Paul's, or Paula has involved herself in this process.
Having my baby.
Yeah, he's going to do a surrogate with an egg donor. And
is
then,
that a hooker catalog?
Yes. And then Paula involves herself in this process. Long story short on that, he gets excited. The egg doesn't take. And he's got to do it again. So that's basically his story. We'll get into all those details later because it's fun. There's blackmail and funness in that one. Maybe the most fun of all three stories. And then the C
blackmail
story.
Blackmail and stalking and fun. Oh my.
The stuff this show is built on. And then the C story is Josh and his mom just coming to terms with Josh has got to move out. And that's all that is. It's just like three different scenes of him having to move out. And he basically doesn't want to. His mom wants him to. He figures out that Rebecca has changed him and he's got to move on. And I mean, this whole thing's spoiler alerts, but spoiler alert, he actually addresses Rebecca at the end of the episode. This just kind of thanks her for everything she's done for
him.
They
did a good job at playing with which way that was going to go.
Yeah.
No idea what that was going to turn into. And
Oh, yeah. And so great that, you know, he finally addresses her. It's the first time since the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, other than like a yelled kind of, stay away from my mom.
Yeah, he grows up and he does the thing he doesn't want to do, and it's great. Yeah. And Rebecca plot, I guess there is more to it, but she's in this great relationship. She decides that she's going to make it even better by helping Nathaniel find her
his father.
Yeah, she's going to do something crazy with his father, some scheme. And then along the way, thinks she's found his long lost sister. And is going to change his life by giving him a sister. That's all, you know, not the case. Nathaniel knows this girl. This is like a family friend. And she thinks she's blown it because she did something crazy for love and it didn't work out. And he maturely deals with it.
Yeah.
Aww. And then back to the Josh thing. And this is kind of how it wraps the whole episode up. And in short is she hears from Josh the thank you, and I had to do the hard thing and come see you and address my problems and not be have all my own patterns and be my old self. And she hears that, and instead of processing it into her own life and how things might be different for her, she just takes it at face level and is like, oh yeah, I can't do my old patterns and I can't be myself and I've got to change. And she goes to what we presume is break up with Nathaniel.
Don't break up with him.
Cliffhanger.
It's the first like healthy relationship she's ever been in. And it's a person who she like, she shows herself and she starts to like go into those old patterns. And he's like, oh, this isn't okay.
Mm-hmm. He
but
sees
he,
them.
He does it with love and support. Yes. And it's so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He's rational.
Yeah.
He has the ability to rationalize for a while.
He's a Slytherin.
But yeah, he is. And it's just, it's very sweet the way that he shows her that he loves her.
Yeah.
It feels, it's as if I was full of cheese whiz and in a loving way. I don't know. I lost my train of thought there, but
I just keep thinking he's like shirtless the entire episode. So I just keep thinking about him being shirtless.
I do like how he's shirtless, but I miss a little fuzz. There's,
oh yeah, it was gone.
It was gone. Mm. Where's his fuzz?
It's bleached from all the sun.
it's been out too much in the sun.
Yeah. I love it. I don't go to Raging Waters to swim. Just go there to tan. I like to jog in the sunlight to bleach my skin.
To tan it and bleach the hair.
Oh, that too. You know, words and things.
When your hair contrasts with your skin, it's gross. But
when it's the same color.
Yeah. Well, then you look like a Greek god.
Except Greeks were definitely dark-haired, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's a term that has no real relevance.
Relevance.
I'm making up new words. Relevance.
Revel in the relevance.
Oh, revel in the relevant. I can't do that. That's a tongue twister. Maybe relevance is a word that takes a lot of thought for me to say. Relevance.
Yeah. So we can go into the details now.
Oh.
Because Shannon, unfortunately, is the only one with notes.
That's okay. I got you guys covered. These guys were also cracking up at me because I take notes. And then when I, like, they saw one of my practices that they normally don't see is if I don't get to taking all my notes during an episode, I'll snap pictures at the screen to finish off my notes. And I was starting to write down things from my snapped pictures. Mm-hmm. And like, what are you doing? I'm like, finishing up my notes.
Just, you know,
it's one of
the process.
Taking the one regret that I have is I don't have the names that Daryl wanted for his children.
I know Shatanka, which is Lady Trunk. Lady Trunk. and what else? I don't even know.
All right.
Tasmalin.
So, oh, yeah. That's it. Yes. Well done, you. Yeah. Wait. Yay.
My memory is good for something. Yeah. Stupid names.
You got that memory. You got that memory. See? Yeah. Okay. You got me all excited. Now I'm making a song out of everything. So yeah, we start at the beginning of the episode, and Rebecca goes straight to an idea that she had with Josh before, which was, let's go to Raging Waters. Mm-hmm. And Nathaniel's like, yeah, I would if water parks weren't gross.
Yep. Which I love.
I love that so much. And then he uses the word schlep because he has watched a lot of Seinfeld because he has a Jewish girlfriend.
So cute.
And it's so cute. And Rebecca's like, what? And he's like, why are you squeaking so much? And you're such a mensch. But yeah, so it even gets to the point where Rebecca's like listening to him in the shower. She's like, how's your shower going?
Is it good?
He can't hear
And then
me.
She kind of, yeah, she catches herself. But then she doesn't because she sniffs a shirt.
Yeah.
From Stanford.
Stanford shirt, yeah.
I think that's the funniest detail. Yes! It's just, she's so obsessed with Yale, but sniff a Stanford shirt.
And, Harvard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Harvard.
Smelled like the yummiest parts of his armpit, you know. And I wanted to live in it. So, yeah.
Those are legit feelings.
It is a legit feeling. and she asks her, yeah, is it bad that I'm wearing this? Because she has it underneath her shirt.
Her shirt's buttoned all the way up.
Yeah. You know, Rebecca does some things every once in a while that I'm like, done that.
Yep.
That's one of them.
As an undershirt or just... Oops. Throwing pens.
Well, I like to steal boys' clothing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a big one. But yeah, I've worn shirts and then put a sweatshirt over top of it, okay, or something like that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've stolen, like, boys. I like their hoodies. Jesus, that was not a sentence.
Stolen boys. I like their hoodies.
Likes the hoodies. Oh. Hoodies are the boys I like.
Stolen boys. I like the hoodies.
Yeah. Just, you know, to smell their armpits. Yes! You know, why not?
I saw a picture the other day, and it's one of those really sad things that now I'm starting to be able to tell timelines by what hoodie I'm wearing. Because I'm like, that was this guy's hoodie.
That hoodie era.
Yes. But it's one of those things. It's super thing. Like, oh, this picture was with this boy's hoodie, so it must have been in this year. This picture's awesome. With this guy's hoodie. It was between this year and this year.
Yeah. Back to the Snapchat talk. Apparently, I love talking about Snapchat.
It's great.
They did the auto year-end stories.
Which takes so long.
They were very long, so I don't think many people shared them or even watched theirs.
Nope.
But it had a very clever formula. Like, you had some early mornings, you had some late nights, and it like paired stuff off with like times you took pictures or if you used certain emoticons. But the number one thing I noticed is there's like one gray hoodie I have, or no, it's not even a hoodie, it's just like a plain sweatshirt. To me, it's like my Rocky sweatshirt, just because it's like gross and it's probably sweaty and it's comfortable, and I run upstairs in it a lot. It just fits my Arnold arms. I don't know, whatever. So it's like, it's my gray hoodie, and I always think of it, oh, it's my Arnold sweatshirt. It's fine. I wore that pretty much every day this year. And I got a stop to that. I was like, oh God, maybe something's wrong with me. I wore the same hoodie, and it was like the middle of summer, out with friends, by yourself in your bedroom, at the gym. I was like, oh, when did I wash this thing? I'm so sad.
And I'd be like, I don't know what day this is.
Yeah, no, there's no way to tell. Like, maybe just by like my hair growing out. But I was like, oh, I gotta stop doing that.
Aww.
I gotta switch it up, different hoodies.
Speaking of hair growth, like, my hair has gotten so long, and I do this thing where I always throw it back in this messy bun, mm-hmm, but it's gotten to the point where it almost doesn't fit in the messy bun because it's gotten so long. I'm like, but I don't want to go get my hair cut. It takes so much effort.
Mm-hmm. So there's a limit to the messy bun? Like, you can't just keep bunning?
Mine starts to fall. Yeah, it starts to fall. And I mean, my hair is thin, so it doesn't look as Well, I double hair tie it already.
Okay.
But I have to readjust it more because it's easier to fall out if there's too many layers to the messy bun.
Mine flipped. I had like the bun part on top and like the sprouty parts underneath.
Yeah.
And then I looked in the mirror like 5 minutes later and the sprouty top parts.
Oh, no. Like, your sprouty parts are sticking out. Yeah. See, like, look how, oh my gosh, look how long it's very long. Is. It's long. Ridiculous. I know. I got to fix this.
Or just embrace it and have like long goddess hair.
Oh, long goddess hair. Well, I'd have to get extensions though, because like long goddess hair is never as thick as you want it to be.
True. Mm.
It's a sad truth.
That's why the extensions exist, because it's not, it just looks too thin.
Yeah. Well, because I think it's one of those things that now in movies, like whenever you see someone with really long hair, like I was watching Handmaid's Tale the other day, and she has this long hair and it's luxurious and it's going down her back. I'm like, you have extensions, and I can tell because no one has hair that thick.
Yep.
But yeah, because it's just, you know.
I don't know.
You get all these images.
Humans are.
Yeah, it's humans. We always like look for imperfections and try to fix them and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if we all look like My Little Ponies?
Yeah, aw. Wouldn't it be great if we were ponies jumping in the yard and over fences?
All right.
We could have some fun with everyone and lower every single one of our defenses.
Aw.
Ponies. Yeah, ponies. Okay, anyway. So then we get to the Paula Darrell, and Paula mentions that the place stinks because of all his like taxidermy. Mm-hmm.
Which
and
is bad, I guess.
Feathers. Yeah, it's bad, but also in the same note, I'm like, does it really? Because these guys have been dead a long time. Their smells are probably
dissipated.
And this
isn't new about his office, so.
Exactly.
Unless it's new as of the breakup, but.
Maybe.
With Josh, I don't know.
Maybe he stops air freshening
them. Yeah, he stopped Febreze.
I stopped Febreze my taxidermy. But no, I was actually reading about this book about like death cultures in different parts of the world. Sorry, guys. I'm a total squirrel all the time. I'm going to stop blaming it on a day because it's every day. So. But I'm reading this book about death practices around the world. I'm reading about this place in Indonesia where they actually live with their dead, and they live with their dead for multiple years.
Okay.
And like you put your dead, you either use what they call it, like tannin tea, which is where tanning the hide comes from.
Okay.
Or now they use formaldehyde. But you put the body away in a separate room until it stops smelling so bad, and then you bring the body back in with the rest of your family.
Wow.
So you guys can chill together. And I'm like, if they can do that, I doubt his taxidermy smells too bad.
Yeah.
That's what I think about it. just putting that out there.
It just smells tacky.
It's a great book, actually, by the way. Here's my book endorsement of the day. You ready?
Yeah. We get one every week. You're so good at reading books.
I love to read. I'm sorry I do this all the time,
this
you guys.
Is what country?
This book is by Caitlin Dougherty. It's called From Here to Eternity. I might have pronounced her last name wrong, but it's Dougherty. Dougherty?
Dougherty?
Dougherty. Let's see. It was from a small town in Indonesia. You guys are so excited by this. I know, right? The South Swal, Sulawesi. I read a lot, but I make the words in my head. So when I pronounce it,
maybe
it'll
they're
be
just
wrong.
Like worried about land use. So they're like, we don't want to bury
it's, you know. No, it's not land use. They believe that you can live with the body after death. Like you can have a relationship with someone after death.
I got judgy again.
Tana Toraja. It's Tanatoraja is the place they're talking about in Indonesia that does this.
Okay.
I mean, in some ways, yes. Because I know, especially America, we've completely gotten rid of all relationship
We've
with
death. We've hidden
death.
Yeah. You get the body picked up within the hour, and then you don't see it again until after.
Yeah, you're supposed to just let go. And
speaking of which, Caitlin Dougherty has another book called Smoke It's in Your Eyes, and it's all about her work as in a crematorium.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yeah, and death practices. It's really fascinating.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was like, yeah, she talks about that.
About the smell of Daryl's office.
Well,
no.
Yeah.
I just think it smells tacky, but
it just smells tacky in here. Is that a hooker book?
Not appropriate for work.
Yeah.
She was good. She was good at being snappy and sassy, Paula.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
They're OVA hookers.
I like that she talks about how her two OVA hookers. Yes. Yeah. Spreading the egg.
is surrogates.
Hey, you want to buy some eggs?
You want to buy some eggs? You want to buy some eggs? I imagine someone opening up a trench coat, like, little vials on either side. You want some eggs? I got some frozen eggs. I got some deep fried eggs. I got some freeze dried eggs. What kind of eggs you want?
I
want
to bring up the story of, I guess, a baby was born recently that was from the longest frozen egg.
Whoa! How long was it frozen?
Actually, maybe it was a frozen full embryo, but it was frozen 25 years.
Yeah. 25 years.
25 whole years.
Oh my God.
And it was still, you know, vital and grew into a baby. And the girl who had that baby was only like 24, 26. It was like one year older, 1 year younger. I don't remember which one.
One of them. It's in there.
It was super cool. But then like all the news stories about it are like, the baby is as old as her. It's like, well, no, that's not how science works. But thanks. Thanks for that clickbait.
Oh yeah. But that's so fascinating. Because you think about the donor of the egg is probably in her 50s or 60s by now.
Yeah.
So, wow, science.
It's cool.
It's so cool.
It is really cool.
Man, I want to donate eggs and let them sit for 25 years. Now. No? No one else?
All right. Well, I looked into donating eggs because you can make some bank.
What kind of bank can you make? Tell me. Tell
like
us.
Thousands per egg.
Thousands per egg.
But it's a very complicated process where like you're just shot up with hormones and like directly into your ovary, and it's it's like months long, and you can't have sex.
Oh well, that's
it's not fun.
Not so fun at all. Yeah,
but
it's horrible.
Yeah.
No wonder the person who gives her eggs away is such a heinous bitch in here. That's horrible to say. No,
all
most
hopped
people,
up on hormone juice.
That's right. It never got out of her system.
No, you
it just made her crazy, crazier.
You think if you gave it, though, I would think if you spent that much time giving an egg or selling an egg, because you do sell them.
Yeah.
It's such a complicated process. You'd be like, have some babies with it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't go through 3 months of hormone therapy just so you can it can sit in a freezer.
Well yeah. And why? What are you gonna do with it?
Yes!
You know what I'm saying?
She wants to wait 25 years.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case she needs it for herself. Like,
yeah. Well, she was already what, like 30?
I mean, probably.
You're not gonna want a kid when you're 50.
I don't know. People do. Daryl does.
Oh yeah, that's a valid point.
True. Yeah. Stupid Daryl.
Daryl ruining all our thoughts. But yeah, and that's the other thing that was really confusing me about the episode, because they would say, like, we fertilized the egg, and then they would say the eggs didn't take. And I'm like, is it singular or is it plural? Like, why are you doing both?
Oh, yeah.
That bad just grammar. Really confused me. Yeah.
Well,
because it is a
confusing
thing. Like,
science.
If it's your own eggs and you're doing fertility treatments, a lot of times they will fertilize multiple eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To give you the best chance. And I was like, are they doing that here, or do you really just pay per egg? And if you're paying per egg, like...
Yeah,
why
you
are you saying
really,
eggs?
And
that's a lot to
really
bank on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a low chance that that's going to
work. So then why, I mean, I know why Daryl was so upset.
Well, yeah.
Because he was very excited for a baby. But rationally, Daryl, like, babies are hard to make.
Babies are hard to make.
Like, I don't know. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Oh!
But a-
yeah, so.
Wah, wah.
He's getting excited for a baby. And
yeah. Oh, I also like here I'm gonna do the Paula's rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of all her judginess. Crooked nose, snaggle tooth from Nevada, weird moles, dumb scarf, likes cats. By the way, that's a cool thing, not a not cool thing, Paula. You must be a dog person. Dimple on one side, clearly drunk, no chin, sloping chin, three chins, vegetarian.
Yeah. I didn't even notice all those bad things.
Can't have a baby with one dimple. She's already going to have one parent.
And I have one dimple, and so it made me feel bad. I was all like, oh, no.
All of their conversations are making us feel deficient.
That's right. But yeah, it's one of those things that I do only have one dimple, and my dad only has one dimple, but we have opposite one dimple,
cool.
So we're mere dimple twins.
You got the,
that's pretty cool. Bodies are so weird and cool.
No. People pay to get dimples.
I love how Daryl's convinced it's going to be a girl.
Yeah, well, Daryl would raise a girl much better than a boy. It's kind of like Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. Watch the new season and Harold and his wife Bernadette are finding out that they're going to have a baby and it's going to be a boy. Sorry about the spoiler.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah.
Not in this room.
And so when they
not
find out that fandom. It's... Thank you, yeah. And when they find out it's going to be a boy, they're all like... Oh,
we have to worry about boy stuff.
Well, Harold,
what if he likes football?
Yeah, like what am I gonna do about sports?
Like, do you have to encourage that, or will he just not?
And I think Daryl's kind of the same way. Because there we go. Yeah. But I think Daryl's the same way, where he's like, okay, I can be loving and nurturing, and those are the things that are more typically what you, like, stereotypically you give to a child, a girl, right?
Mm-hmm. Madison plays softball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But, I mean, it's one of those things that I feel like he, I don't know, maybe he doesn't feel like that's...
Well, he had a crappy dad, too, so I think part of that is... You know.
I know. It's part of the reason I fear having children. I'm just, like, I want to have kids, but I'll screw them up because I'm screwed up.
Oh, my cat and I have been role-playing, like, what I would be like as a mom.
Oh, my God. Tell us how this goes.
It goes, I close the door to my bedroom, and I sleep for, like, 6 hours, and he's in the other room crying, and I'm just like, I can't deal with this.
Oh, no.
I have to condition him to go down without attention, without a bottle. Without...
She's like, well, that's not going to work with a child, so it's decided. But, poor sweet cat.
Oh, cats. Cats are the best.
I worry about my emotional condition and the potential of having kids, too. Like, I don't want to expose them to whatever's going on in my brain.
Yeah, I know, because I'm the same way, where it's just kind of like... I know I'm screwed up. And so to consciously have children when you know you're screwed up, you're just kind of like, is this fair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wonder
when
if
you're young, you don't think about it.
The maternal or paternal like instinct changes you a little bit to where you like, you know, you're I'm sure that you change your your focus obviously changes unless you're like a like some sociopathic like piece of shit who's not gonna pay attention to the kid regardless of whether you have one or not, like
the Naomis of the world.
Yeah.
Well, see, my fear is like I have worked over a decade to change the conditioning of, you know, my past, and my fear is like I mean I have kids and I'm just gonna snap right back into my conditioning is.
Yeah, because you never know if under stress you go backwards
or if I'll stay where I've worked so hard to go. And I'm like I don't think I could live with myself if I go back to the things I've worked that aren't like part of me, but part of part of the people around me that I grew up with, you know? And I'm just like,
the automatic behaviors that were kind of like embedded
will this become
in
me?
You versus, valid concerns.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess back to
this exciting. I think this whole episode is like steeped in like stuff like that. Just
yes. Well, it's
all
good
real
conversation.
Life stuff.
Yeah.
It's
whole
helping us
because there's the kids stuff, and then like even Rebecca's struggling with Nathaniel, and it's because she was raised by a maniac. Like and doesn't know what love is and can't process.
Yeah.
She's receiving love, which she deserves. And
healthy
she just,
love, but she's never had healthy love.
And she can't process it at all.
What the frick do you do with this?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's a very good point. She's never had healthy love. And if you've never had it, you're just kind of like, what do I do with you? Like,
you either ignore it or you reject it. And
or you go back to your old behaviors where you're like, oh, this is what you do. I'm supposed to obsess over you. Yeah. And I'm supposed to like do
she gets
outlandish
especially
things.
Like. I need to make this stay, so I need to, like, you know, get all of my everything into it and make sure it never goes away.
Yeah, because I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Speaking of happy, you know, Daryl's happy about this kid, and he has to go get his stuff checked out because Paula's like, where's the guy catalog? And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. And Paula's excited because she has the chance to create the ultimate human. And then we have Nathaniel and Rebecca. And Rebecca wants to know him better. And Nathaniel's so excited about this because he's like, no one's wanted to know me better. Mm-hmm. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And so he tells Rebecca about his childhood and how he was lonely. And so this becomes Rebecca's new mission. Maybe because she recognizes a little bit with herself or who knows what. I like how she says, I imagine you with a bow tie and knee socks like Prince George.
Mm-hmm. It fits.
It does. And I've been watching The Crown lately where there's a lot of bow ties and knee socks.
Adorable.
Adorable.
I thought the sweetest part of that was where he's like, oh, my parent or like whatever. My parents sucked, whatever. Oh, well, I have a good relationship with my mom.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's cute. And then he's like, yeah, but my dad, it's not there.
Yeah. Or he's like, I had a great relationship with the gardener, Esteban.
That's why. Habla español. Why is he so cute? Who wrote this?
He's just so great. But I love his character so much.
Who created this perfect human?
Mm-hmm. It is. He's
was
perfect.
It Paula? It wasn't Paula.
It wasn't Paula. No. But like, because yeah, he's vulnerable and he has like his idiosyncrasies to him, but he's still overall good.
And he'll still kill someone for you, but
he'll still
we've gotten over that really quick.
That's right. You know,
he'll get rid of immigrants like that. I mean,
you will.
He'll get rid of anyone in your way. You have a problem with the mailman? I'll take care of that mailman for you. What but about the deli? Did you get the bad slice of meat?
He's trying.
I'll slice that meat.
He does try.
He does.
That conversation happened, what, like after like sex in the bed?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. We had great Italian. Yeah. What else is great? That's sex.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so this is like a lot of the early scenes were like dragging on me.
Yeah.
Because they're just like so exposition heavy and you're just like, why? Like you didn't have to say that. And for me, that was like one of them where it's like you know what was great? Oh, God.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Like, let's bring up the fact that we had Italian, in case you forgot, from 2 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
What was better than that? The sex we had. Like, we know you had sex. You're naked in a bed.
Obviously, yeah. People
you're,
don't just...
You're, like, touching his feet. Yeah. Come on.
People don't hang around in lingerie. Mm-hmm. It's not comfortable enough to hang around in.
We know you're good at sex. You have it all the time in this show.
Yes, it's great. I'm very
and
happy
he's beautiful.
For you.
Of course he had good sex.
Like, that's right. So, like, he knows how to use it.
It was just like, oh, this is unnecessary details. Get right into like, oh, that was cool. Yeah. Tell me about your father. Even like, oh, God, all of that is just, I know what it has to be there, but it's just so heavy handed.
Yes. Heavy handed is a great word for it. Like this in season one would have been 2 episodes
mm-hmm.
at least.
Yeah. And I know they're trying to get through because there's only 13 episodes and we were on 8. So we got to cram a lot in. But at the expense of like.
I hate cramming a lot in.
It's weird
without
too.
Without proper foreplay. It's just uncomfortable.
It's not fun. It's too much, too big. it's just frustrating because it's a lot of information that you want to enjoy, and oddly, by doing it so quickly and so straightforward like that, you actually make it seem longer and more annoying.
Yeah.
And it's like that's not fair. So
these are true statements.
Anyway,
one detail that I did like is the repetition of. Number 456H76.
Makes it sound like a James Bond movie.
Yes. Which is the donor number. So Paula stalked the donor.
Mm-hmm.
And the donor already starts to show straight off the bat that she's kind of like on the ball. Because she's like, yeah, I know you've been stalking me.
Mm-hmm.
But Paula picks the person and Paula has to stalk because the eggs are not available. Even though it's in the catalog.
Mm-hmm. this may have been an indicator that Paula met somebody who's like
just like her
got yeah like she's met her match or something mm-hmm. because this person's actually been paying attention enough to know where Paula is
it shows so, like right off the bat
and that's why she would be drawn to this egg is because this is
subconsciously yes. they are like on the same
level
yeah.
mm-hmm. You know another level I like coffee time George time for George's coffee a little time just for George he's gonna make himself a cup he's gonna drink it up
So what song is that?
Oh, that was George was making this coffee right
no
before.
I remember that, but like which one is he like referencing?
I don't know
because it's it follows something right one of the previous songs.
I don't know.
On Twitter, there's one where it's the George is making coffee song. Mm-hmm. So it's a sexy getting ready song. So I'm like, okay, that's obvious.
Yeah.
But this one.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
And I like when I watched it the first time, I was like, I need to figure out what song that is.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it. Oh, man. Mm. Bungie Bear likes it when I play with her ears.
It's not I Have Friends, is it?
No.
No. Nope.
No, and it's not even like. Having a few people over. Bum, ba, 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 da, ba, da, ba, 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 ba.
That'd be a good one.
That would be great. Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, Rebecca says, meet me in the bathroom. And I love that George is like, ladies, men's, what's happening?
He's on top of it.
But yeah. And Rebecca starts playing this crazy game where
Well, first off, I really like that George is like, I like your weight. You have a normal body.
It's brave.
It's brave. Yeah.
But Rebecca's like, you need to get me Nathaniel's news calendar. And George is like, I don't even work for you. And Rebecca's like, oh, yeah.
Just backing up.
Yeah, I was back
like,
it up.
Why did he bring up the weight? Because it's like, oh, yeah. Like, if you're so depressed, why didn't you lose weight?
Yeah. She's like, I don't work here anymore. And I can't deal with people being like, oh, how are you? Are you feeling better? I'm glad you're not dead. If you were so depressed, why didn't you lose weight?
That's so funny. You're so brave.
Yeah, you're so brave.
All right, back to her plan.
But yeah, so she says, you need to get Nathaniel Sr.'s calendar for me so that I can accidentally on purpose run into him. Because Nathaniel's wonderful, sweet, and thoughtful, and he takes care of me first, and his dad needs to know that.
Dads love to know that.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you have sons.
But Rebecca, my dad made sure to have a lot of those conversations with me throughout my lifetime. Just
always the woman first.
Yeah,
yeah. Checks in, make sure you got
checks
that
in
message.
With the ladies. Yes.
Text messages like throughout the day a couple times. Just like,
oh, I bet.
Did you make sure to think about a woman first? God. Did you make sure to just whatever?
Can I get her number? I want to call and ask her.
he's got to double check. And if not, then he'll offer to.
Give
make
you a
up
few
for
pointers.
My own.
Oh, like, God. Oh.
Greg, dad, your situation.
Yeah.
Oh, he offered to Greg dad me.
My dad will never hear this, so it's okay that I can say this.
Yeah. No one will ever call and tell him.
Nope. You guys, we have like 60 listeners. We can say whatever we want.
That's how I feel, always.
Yeah, same here.
Although every time I bring up the show a lot, it works. I'm like, one day someone's going to listen to it. Oh, God. They're going to. Report me.
Yeah, I'm just like, please, no one I know ever listen to this show. Yeah. Well, except for the handful of people I've told about it who are like, oh, I listened to your episodes, at least the first few, and then I was like,
I don't know the show, so I don't care.
Yeah,
like, okay, that's cool.
Do your thing, whatever.
Not gonna force you to watch a show I like, but yeah. All right.
Someday we'll have a podcast without a show, and then you'll have no excuse.
Yeah. Just your own insecurity.
That's right. You'll be excuseless. But Rebecca starts this game where she's like, if you don't do this, I'm gonna kill myself again. Which
worst.
I was like, ah, terrible. This feels like a line. Especially when she does like the motions, like wrist, hang, ugh. Gun. And I was like, this is a little much. This is not fun.
I mean, it makes you straight up hate her.
Yeah, you can't exploit your mental condition that you're getting over and that terrible thing you've just gone through to manipulate people to do shit you want.
Yeah. So, yes, that makes her suck, which...
It does make her suck, but I also feel like it's her way of trying to make light of a situation that is uncomfortable for her.
True.
Not saying it justifies it in any way, but I'm just kind of like, all right, this is your way of making light of this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not cool, though. What is cool, though, is that... Mom Chan wants to kick little Channy Bear out of the house.
Yeah. For her daycare. In-home daycare.
For her in-home daycare.
She's going to put a dolphin on the wall, which is totally unfair because Josh loves dolphins.
Yeah, because they're the princes of the sea.
You would think that.
Poor
so
guy.
Good.
But deprived childhood. No dolphins in his childhood.
When I was a toddler, I just had walls.
Yeah. Hey, I feel him. It sucks to see your parents be nicer to babies than you.
Yeah.
It's so great to be jealous of children.
Yeah. Be jealous of those little people.
Get so mad at them.
Yeah.
Totally adult thing to do.
Your clean slate at life makes me jealous and angry.
What do you mean you're deserving of love just because you're alive? I screwed that up because I got old.
Yeah. I used
stupid
to think the
children,
same thing.
Children.
Yeah. Isn't it nice to be innocent? Jerks.
Yeah.
No.
And then he comes across a bunch of old stuff. Did he find it yet? I don't know. I might be jumping ahead, but he finds a bunch of old stuff in his closet. Like a baseball he caught at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
A volleyball he caught at Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
And
a tissue
and
from a
tissue
girl
from
from a cold he got from a hot girl in algebra.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny because it is like this downward slope of like
importance.
Importance. Like the first one, a ball you caught at Dodger Stadium. I think most people would be like, okay,
that's a cool thing. Yeah.
Volleyball you caught at Redondo Beach. You're like, all right,
well that's cool.
Whatever. Sure.
Whose volleyball did you steal?
Yeah.
Exactly. You got a volleyball. I mean, that's a win. And then like you have a tissue and you're like, okay, all right, I see where you're going with this.
He's a hoarder somehow. Weird.
Yeah.
Didn't think he would be.
But he has a lot of flux, you guys. A lot of flux. Because that's the thing he says.
He does.
Oh, and we learned about the people in Rebecca's group. Right? Lana, Clary.
Oh, yeah. The
Bert and Joss.
Bert, the previous schizophrenic.
Yeah, Bert came back.
I guess I like it. It was another very forced scene to me. I was like, I get it. Like,
but you knew it had to happen
we have to see her.
Well, and it was one of the snippets they did in the beginning. Like, they showed Bert saying he was schizophrenic. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, now you got to bring Bert back. Mm-hmm. Where are we gonna get Bert?
In group therapy, where everyone's telling her she's doing it wrong, which she is. So.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of like when you have people together and they get an opinion about you, they're probably going to tell you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. So another scene that was totally not necessary but happened.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was the thing. I like that. So then we go past a few things. I'm going to skip a little bit. But
actually, I'm going to go back to that scene real quick, too.
Go ahead.
Because you had Bert. You had the woman that kind of reminded me of Karen.
A little bit. I was thinking more like Greg.
Are you talking about Greg?
Therapy. And then you had like your disinterested teen, which is like
Heather. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah. The one in the middle was Karen. Okay. Yeah.
The one in the middle was Clarice.
Yeah.
That was her real name.
But right. She reminded
me
of Karen.
I'm just keeping the two
of
them. No, I'm just. Yeah.
And then who is the young girl?
Lana. Yeah.
Who was Heather plus Greg.
Like, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, if we're going to bring these people in, just bring Heather in and have Heather say something smart and sassy to me. Like,
but,
know.
You know, and Clarice, I think, was great because she's like, I don't need to take a breath. Yeah. Bert needs to take a breath. Rebecca definitely has to take a breath. I don't want to take a breath. And then Lana's like, take a breath. You can't make me.
She didn't take a breath. It's fine. It was of fun. Course. What a fun scene.
They did some fun things with it. They did some cute stuff, but yeah.
It's like, this is unnecessary, but okay, fine. Go with it.
Whatever. Do you think?
I'll watch it.
And then you have like Rick, which shows that, you know, she doesn't pay attention to everyone. Like, she gets most of the names, but then the person she totally forgets who, I guess, is kind of like George. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But Daryl, I think, is cute because he goes to get his sperm checked and he takes one of each magazine.
Yeah. That was one clip I did pull and I didn't like send or save, like, because I was like, it was, again, heavy handed.
Yeah. But it totally was. It was cute, though, where they're like, you know, whatever brings all your boys to the guy.
Yeah. That was very professional of you to say.
I thought
good
it
joke.
Was
that
nice.
Was a great joke.
Yeah.
A lot of the setups for these, I'm like, I see the setup. I see the joke. I see how they pitched it. And then they're like, that was the, whatever brings your boys out to the yard. That was very professional. There's the actual joke. That's the funny part.
Yeah.
But then when they're like, we're going to have a scene and we're going to give Daryl a magazine with ladies on it, but we have to reinforce that he's bi. So we're going to be like, hang on just a minute. Do you have anyone with men on it? And then she's going to give him one. And he'll be like, but I want to keep the other one. Like, that's still just a pitch. That's just still an idea. And you're just like, So I don't know. I'm crapping on this episode, but again.
I at least felt that they weren't sure where the show was going at points in this episode. Like, what do we do? I don't know. I think they're getting lost in trying to like show them live their
lives.
Yeah, it's
like either they're not sure where it's going, or they have so many things they want to show and they know exactly where they're going and they don't want to like rush to get there. So they're like kind of just shoving.
Let's slow it down or pace it the way that we need to pace it.
Yeah. But another thing they did a bunch was like, you know how in improv they talk about the fact that if you don't really know where you're going, you kind of like over-label things and you keep bringing in other elements.
Okay, yeah.
And they kind of did the same thing here where even like Rebecca and George, she's like, you're my driver, you're my wingman, you're my conspirator, you're my suicide prevention buddy. Like they did all of these like naming things. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, okay, well, you keep doing it. So it makes me think like maybe it's
intentional.
More of, maybe it's more of that thing where you don't quite know where you're going or, you know. Maybe it's one of those things that you're feeling uncomfortable, so you're
maybe the writers were feeling uncomfortable.
Maybe
they need a bunchy bear
to hug and bring home.
Oh, we can bring you hugs. Just give us a plane.
Yeah, we'll make a bunch of these bunchy bears and just mail them to them.
Well, or we could deliver them in person.
Yeah, they would probably arrest us.
They would not.
But it's California and it's winter here.
That would be great.
I started looking at apartment prices out there recently.
How did that go for you?
It's not great.
It was daunting.
Very expensive?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
like all things
it's up there.
Yeah.
There's that ideal that gets put in your mind that like, well, the economy adjusts for it, so like jobs are supposed to pay a little bit more, but
Well, that's a great trick to play on yourself. That is a great trick. I remember when I moved to California, my boyfriend's line was like, I was trying to, like, I had a scooter and I was like, well, I could sell it or I don't have to do with it. And I was freaking out because it was a very quick move. So I shipped it to myself in California and I spent like $600 on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And to me at that time, it was a ton of money and it would still be a ton of money for me now because that's basically my rent.
Yeah.
But at the time, he's just like, oh, don't worry. When you move to California, that'll be like a week's pay.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, okay. And I convinced myself, which it wasn't. I made no money out in California.
Yeah.
But I still don't make $600 a week.
Classism is real.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
But he was someone who was, you know, born, raised in New York and had that kind of, I don't know.
That, I think,
when you live in like one of the most expensive cities in the world, money doesn't matter. So.
Yeah, I think you just, well, man, it's so complex. I think you get raised in a different kind of environment that, like,
you will always be poor and die.
Yeah, right.
You will always struggle, so just, it's fine. Everything's fine.
I think there's a different pace to how you, like, operate and think, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a different type of, like, cushion that you come from, too. So I don't think that you, like, you're not as concerned, maybe, as people who come from, maybe, places like... Or, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I could sit here and speculate for hours, but that's not fun to listen to. So back to the show.
Well, back to the show. We get introduced to Josh Chan's karaoke player.
Yeah.
What? The batteries still work.
Oh, another scene I just couldn't handle. What? This is a CD. Remember these guys?
Yeah, and he's all like, I love this song.
It's about first love. I'm going to think about my first love at summer camp, which is Rebecca. Or was it?
But after a little bit of, like, you know, Daryl talking to a taxidermy bunny and Paula doing a little stalking, we get the sperm song.
Yeah.
My sperm is nice and healthy. In terms of sperm, I'm wealthy. Each time I bust because my sperm's steaming like a demon. All the surrogates be screaming, just give me some of that premium grade baby batter.
Yeah, it's a gross song.
But it's so great. I love this song so much.
It's well written.
Yeah.
Aw, shucks. Gee whiz, I got the best sperm in the biz. My sperm is healthy. And they do like this dance line, which is just so cool.
Oh, yeah. Everyone in the office, which we haven't seen before.
Brad, you too?
Huh. Yeah, that little movie does is great.
I love that. Even though I'm no teenager, my boys still throw a rager. They get bottle service in every cervix, blowing eggs up like a pager.
Which is a great reference for the age group.
Yeah.
diaphragm pulverizer, I inseminate you. My sperm just aced the quiz.
Ugh.
Oh.
I know, it all sounds up, like on the desk. It'd be horrible to like.
Oh, it was so great, though. I loved this song so much.
I'm not a big fan of Mrs. Hernandez being a bitch. No. But in that case, when like he's running around the office talking about his sperm, having the baby office call, like the fertility place.
Like the spank bank or whatever he called it?
Whatever.
The Yank Bank.
Yank Bank! Yes. That was it.
She's deserving in her meanness to him.
Congratulations. Yes.
I think
that's what she says.
She's the only one in that office who, like, I don't know, like, she holds them accountable, I guess. Like, she doesn't behave like the rest of them. She's, like,
that's true.
Disciplined. Mm-hmm. And so when they're all fucking around, she's just like, you assholes. I don't
She is.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking about fucking around and being assholes, we have Rebecca and George who have found from fake golf when Rebecca tries to like be a golf player and finds out that he's actually just faking the golf thing. And they like he goes in a car with a woman and they're like, what is this? Is this like a mistress? Is it rideshare?
Mm-hmm. I did like George's whole thing about some of my best dates were rideshare.
We're paid by the minute.
Paid by the mile.
Yeah.
And then we meet the mistress daughter or whatever Rebecca thinks it is.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun.
Hey there, old man.
And skip a little bit. We get Josh with the karaoke machine, and we get to Mom's song. Mm,
I do have this whole song. Yes! We can play and listen
oh, please
to.
Please do. This
that
is
song was my
song.
Favorite song.
Yeah. Yes!
That was the only one that I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's super good. So we can listen to it now and then talk about it.
But now that you're grown and you're a man, why are you still here? I don't understand. It's time to get your ass out of my house. I don't care where you go, I just want you to know you've got to get your ass out of my house. Seriously, why do you still live with me? Year after year, you're always here. So let me be clear, I want you to disappear. Just in case you had any doubt, it's time to get your loot.
Okay, I get it. I should have packed up the closet. You're right, you're totally right. I don't have to keep saying
my son, perhaps that was me. But I think you should know how frustrated I mean that Dad and I can't have sex as loud as we want. So follow along with this highlighted font and please just get your ass out of my house. Cause I'm not in the mood to keep on buying your food. Good God, just get your ass out of my house. My church friends think it's a shame. They say my son is so lame.
What's up with the random robots?
You can sleep in the park. You can sleep on a bus. You can live anywhere as long as it's not with us. Thanks to your feet, this house smells like sauerkraut. So, my dear child, get your ass out.
Get it out, Josh.
Yeah.
This is the first time I think that she's been like, okay, like you need to grow up because she's always coddling him. And finally, she's like, enough.
She's lost it.
I've been waiting for that
moment.
I've been
saying since I think the first season or something that his family's going to come down on him eventually for doing what he's doing.
For sucking so bad.
Dear son, you suck super bad. Just thought you should know. Just, can't hold it in.
I like even how she pawned him off on Hector and his mom.
Yes!
That's so
oh
weird.
My God.
It's like, I don't care where you move. You're moving with Hector and his mom, but not this mom.
Yes. Oh, and they live near what? The soup place?
The place he loves.
Oh, yeah. That place you love. I just thought it was so funny that she kept saying it. She's like, oh, and I love the sign in the back. We didn't see the sign here, but Lord's Karaoke Joint for Fed Up Parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do have mixed feelings on that whole thing because I guess I get real defensive about millennial stuff because I feel very like in tune with like being at an age where I got screwed when the economy crashed.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. It's definitely like, I got mixed feelings in that maybe we shouldn't be making fun of people who live at home because the economy is so screwed up and like we can't afford houses, whatever. Like there's
that's
all
where I'm kind of like, I think that this, I don't know how off base or how potentially like whiny or whatever I might sound when I do this, but like, I think this show has like, they don't do a good job at
classism.
They're
trying.
They're deaf to classism.
Yeah.
Like they're tone deaf to the economic disparities that exist between people in different situations.
And they try really hard sometimes because they have Paula and she's poor or whatever. But like there's so much more. It's so much more complicated. And
the thing is, like Josh never even tried.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. Like I'll never be mad at
New York, but he had no plan. Obviously,
he took off to New York for like eight months, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah, that's not really.
He doesn't have a long term like.
No, and he deserves all the harsh love he's get or the tough love he's getting to be pushed out. And I spent so much time and energy not moving back home when I was super poor and like out of school and like the whole stereotype was everyone, okay, millennials can't afford to do anything and they just live at home with their parents. And I was like so poor.
You were like, not me.
So poor and putting quarters in the gas tank.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that.
Oh, I did that.
Hey, it's Amy.
God, less than 48 hours.
Oh, God. So, yeah, it's like,
Amy's here. Amy's here. I'm here for the last little bit of the podcast.
No, it's perfect. So, yeah, like, I just... So I get such mixed feelings on it because it's like, no, I fought really hard not to be that person that lived at home and fell into that stereotype. And in doing that, you know, got to experience a whole nother level of poverty and cool stuff that I don't know.
Cool poverty.
Cool poverty. Yeah. And then but then I didn't at some point move back in with my parent because she was sick, which is the Greg thing. We were like. That was, he was living at home and that wasn't sad. That was just weird. And like, I don't know. There's so many cool moments of stuff like that in the show that like, I think a lot of people can relate to all of those things I just said, either moving back home or having a sickness in the family or, and I don't know, we kind of gloss over it sometimes and it's because it's always back to Rebecca and her little rich lifestyle with her sad life with her broken family that like, could still, I don't know, she's still a rich lawyer or whatever.
And all of her money.
Yeah. All her money.
Like she doesn't even have a job right now.
She doesn't have a job. Yeah, she's not working. And she could still go to Raging
Waters.
She
still has, like, apparently has health care coverage to the point where she can, like, get group therapy and all
good
that.
Point. Yeah.
Just paying out of pocket, whatever.
Whatever. Oh, Amy. Yes. Amy's here and she wasn't here for Christmas. So we're going to pretend real quick like you got to draw from the bag.
Okay.
But the bag is just my hands and there's only one thing in it. Here, draw from the bag. What number did you get?
One.
Oh my goodness. I forgot to rewrap your gift, but I have my hands. Ready?
Okay.
You got to open them.
Okay.
Open better. There you go.
I'm a Slytherin.
Yes.
A Slytherin.
You, thanks, Shannon. You and I are boy Nathaniel.
So where are we in the, have we done the recap?
Yeah, we did the quick recap. So everyone should be on the same page. There's no spoilers. We can jump around. But we've been following a little closer and we just got through the Get My Ass Out of Your House song.
Yeah.
Which is why you walked in on like intense, like this song doesn't understand poverty or classism and it's tone deaf to struggle, but it's cute too sometimes.
I mean, I don't think it's tone deaf.
I think there are generational differences too, like between, I don't know what it was, but like parents, like I know that they had a different economy, like our parents' generations were like, you were just expected to, you get out of school and you move your ass out and you start your damn life and just whatever circumstance you're in, you deal with it and you get on with it. I don't know, like the difference for us.
There's a ton of differences.
I mean, I mean, for one thing, like we said, the economy crashed, right? Like I was in school and the economy crashed and jobs went away.
Wages are stagnant.
Yeah, wages are shit. Right now. Wages aren't even stagnant. Like
you're paying.
There are executives that are like. Like applauding themselves for cutting wages across the board and like they're getting, you know, they're getting applauded for that. For,
you guys,
for
we like, made a way to make poor people poorer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We took the working class and
pat on the back.
We diminished their standard of living.
We did
Yay,
it.
Good job.
We like, raised, or like, this is an Ontario thing, but they raised a minimum wage. And then, it's specifically in the case of Tim Hortons, the one owned by the founder's daughter and her wife or her husband. They, the franchises that they owned, they've decided that because the entire province raised minimum wage in order to afford increasing minimum wage for their minimum wage workers, they're going to take away paid breaks and they're also going to have them pay 50% of their benefits now instead of covering them all.
Oh my God.
So now they're just poorer. Like, yeah sure, you got like, I think it was even like $1, $2 raise on minimum wage. And now it's been like, I don't know, they just tanked it. So that's cool, and that's not a unique situation. That's
but it's so frustrating where it's like, we gave you a pay. It's almost like you regret having what you wished for, where you're just like, well, we gave you a pay raise.
That's the whole point. They have the power to make that adjustment. And, you know, the whole idea is we're supposed to incentivize the risk takers who started the business and blah, blah, blah.
But it's really like.
But then they would just become hoarders.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They hoard all the wealth, and there's wait, no. Wait, you guys. No
Uber talked about the trickle down effect.
Uber rich people have a disease because
they fear megalomania. Death.
Yeah.
In the words
and
of
and just thinking
struck.
You need more when you have the most out of anyone on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And feeling like put upon that like people want benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That people just want to live.
Yeah. Yeah. You want like, to live when you're sick?
Excuse me?
How ridiculous.
Well, you're not in my position. I have a lot of bitterness. I don't know if we should.
No, this is you're sitting in a room of bitterness, but at the same time, like the hard thing is if we sit here and talk about it, we just sound like we're whining. Like we're told that we're not like, you know.
Well, you know what else we can talk about? Nathaniel and George in a donut shop.
Oh, more people with money. Yeah.
George doesn't have money. George gets it.
George gets it.
George is such a law firm.
He's like slowly like
no, he's been fired and hired as a temp and a contract worker. He's got no benefits anymore. Punching bag for everyone. He's all of us.
And Rebecca like intentionally runs into someone's car. So
have we talked about Rebecca like basically blackmailing him into helping her by saying
It was horrible. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she sucks.
I texted Moosh. I'm like, I don't know if I can keep watching this show.
I know. When she did that, I was like,
she needs to
like,
be a little bit more likable. We need some
anyways, okay. So we're up to this woman.
Yeah. But so Rebecca tries to show Nathaniel that he has a little sister, and it turns out that no, he doesn't have a little sister. And I hate that she uses the word whore for the woman that is
she's
I was like, really?
In this beautiful show that's so positive
many
times.
About women. Yeah. You she's have this thing where like there's an extramarital affair, right? And and the woman is the whore.
Yeah.
Like, that's
because
so frustrating.
Plimpton Sr. is the nobleman.
And God.
You know, he's the
there's my vomit sound. it's so frustrating. And so it turns out he's been hiding as a golf player because he doesn't want to pay everyone's tuition, but he's willing to pay the tuition of the secretary that he had for 30 years, Janice.
That's noble.
That
I guess some rich people do have hearts.
Oh, yeah.
We were wrong.
Oh, yes. I feel
silly
so,
us.
I feel so, so different about about the world in general. Josh finally cleans out his closet and he's pouting at his mom because he's like, you're so mean lately. And it turns out Josh has realized that he's outgrown his life.
Oh, yeah. I got that clip, too.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
That's good.
Bam.
Because this is when telling this little monologue, Rebecca's gotten everything she wanted in ruining Josh Chan.
Oh, yes, she did. You're right. Yeah. Oh, my God. She wanted to ruin Josh Chan and she did.
She did.
No. Okay. She made him better, but she also ruined him from how he was.
I mean, we're going to hear what he says.
What's really going on with you? I don't know. My whole life, I knew what I was going to do, who I was going to be. Get a comfortable job, marry Valencia, see you guys every weekend, coach Little League, go to church, hang out with my friends, own a shave ice machine. But none of it makes sense anymore.
I know. Growing up is hard.
I was trying to remember when it stopped making sense. I moved back from New York. I tried to settle back in, but things were not right between me and Valencia because I started spending time with Rebecca. And that job at Aloha, Rebecca also got for me because she believed in me. And then V and I split up. Also because of Rebecca. When you think about it, Rebecca's everywhere. She changed me. Made me think my life could be different. I could be special. But my God, she ruined me. I spent my whole life in flip-flops and she made me want closed-toed shoes. I can't go back to my old life. I gotta find a new life. Mom!
Oh. Sorry. Those are not real problems.
I love her.
Mom just falls asleep during his monologue.
She's great.
She's the best.
I'll shit on that scene, but she's the best.
But yeah, I'm so he realizes that he doesn't fit in his old life. He held himself to low standards. And it's kind of funny because I was watching this, and as I was watching and listening, I'm like, yep, that was me in my early 20s.
Aww. Yeah.
Held myself to low standards.
Well, I think you're only able to think so big. I mean, well, I yeah. know, unless you come from a certain, like I know people who, you know, they had certain things figured out that they were going to live to a certain, like, level of achievement yeah. or something like that, but I didn't come from a household that knew how to build that in me. So
yes,
it was like...
well, and Jim, we were talking about earlier that, like, we were raised to fit in a box.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. that's what you rather are as a kid. Like, you're full of all these great ideas, which might be part of the reason we get all pissed off at kids. Like, get to have all the good memories that we didn't, like... Probably said that wrong, but you know what I meant.
Earlier when I was complaining about being jealous of children.
Yes, yeah, but because like we were all trained to try to fit in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And we spend the rest of our life trying to like move ourselves back out of that box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, that conflict
to
of
just
like
figure out how to be bigger than
yeah. Yeah.
Your expectations of yourself. I don't
know. Not subtle.
Yeah.
Yes.
And be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my and God. Poor. What's that word? All those words. I'd love to not be poor and to be happy. These are great ideas.
I think the biggest conflict that I have in my head is like, I have this, there was an expectation instilled in me that I was supposed to be able to achieve like certain things, but circumstances are so difficult to overcome
yeah.
to try to achieve whatever that is that there's just a complete contrast in
yeah.
those, you know, where you think you're supposed to be able to go versus what your circumstances dictate for you. And it's mm-hmm. fucking maddening
yes.
because it's like, I know that I could do a lot more if my circumstances weren't fucking shit.
Yeah.
And there are people whose circumstances are really shit, too, mm-hmm. who are, you know, who are have even more to overcome and blah, blah, blah. This is something that I think has gone on throughout time and will
well,
keep
yeah.
going on. And
or the thing that I find really interesting is, like, here I am. I am not a spring chicken, according to my parents
yeah, exactly.
anymore. And so they keep saying, like, you know, you don't have to wait for this to have a baby. You can have a baby
oh,
right
God,
now.
No.
Why don't you have a baby? And I'm like, really? And they're like, a baby will solve your problems,
nope.
I swear.
What?
And
it's no.
Like, okay, that's
no.
never been true.
No. It's never been true, but never. You know how those parents get when they want their grandbabies. They'll say anything to try to get
start
them.
Start telling them to have a baby.
Again. Oh, yeah, try again.
Yeah.
You hate me so much. Try again.
Yeah. Yeah. Moosh. There's some frozen eggs somewhere that you can buy.
I mean, that's totally something I would say as a teenager. So
yeah. What was it? Dr. Spock had a child that's 70-something. All you need is a frozen egg and you're yeah. halfway there.
Speaking of frozen eggs.
Oh, yes.
More Daryl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we find out that also Daryl was not able to conceive at this juncture, which is a good thing because it turns out that the egg donor... whatever her
bitch.
Name is. Yes, was a bitch.
Sucked.
And so she was going to blackmail Daryl for every month of the baby's life.
Did what, did what she did really like dictate her being a horrible, horrible person? Like, I know that, like, relative to all these other people that we're examining mm-hmm. here, like,
are you speaking of number 456876?
Yeah. I mean, I know it was shitty, but like,
it's kind of justified.
For Paula, who's like nuts, to then come down on this person. I don't know. It's a really, I think, whatever.
In the very least, it was an eye-opener for Paula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is good. Paula annoys me, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know she's like Rachel Bloom's fave.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard her say that, but like, if I had Paula near me, I'd be like, bitch, stay 20 feet away from me.
Yeah.
We are not friends.
There have been times throughout this season where I've been going, Paula, go away. Paula, go Aww. Away. Go away, Paula. Stop mm-hmm. now. Go away.
I felt a pinch in my shoulder. Did you just track me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you do to your friends. Yeah. And, like, it sucks because, like, they give her moments of sweetness or, like, self-awareness where it's like, oh, I screw up people's lives when I'm happy or when I'm unhappy and it never works out. Like, okay, cool. Self-aware. You know mm-hmm. she's not going to, like, do anything about it. Like,
yeah. Maybe she'll do a little.
Maybe a little.
This show mm-hmm. is clearly willing...
Well, she had
fingers crossed showing a little bit of progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it also about, like, these ladies not showing the progress, but then they put Nathaniel out there, who's all of a sudden become this great guy, and he's like...
This stupid white man character.
I was thinking about that. I mean... Like, he's like, I forgive you, and
well, because it's more feminist to, like, have women characters that are flawed at this moment of history.
Oh, that's true.
Because we've never had that before, except for Elaine.
Fair enough.
But, from Seinfeld.
Elaine.
out. But... Yeah, I was thinking about that, I don't know, probably like when I was in the shower or something.
It's like my best thoughts come. Somehow my thoughts ended up at like, are we ever going to get back to like Nathaniel being like a ruthless corporate shark, or is he done with that? And it's like, is there going to be any consistency with his character? But I mean, I know people that, you know, maybe he just compartmentalizes and he can be a really sweet boyfriend if he has the right girlfriend, and then he goes and ruins people's lives.
There you go.
Yeah, 9 to 5.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Or maybe he was just as cold as ice until she melted him.
Oh,
I think he would still.
And he stripped away her conscience.
He'd still. he'd still deport an immigrant family like that.
But. Oh, yeah. Well, what was his line? Oh, actually, I guess I have this clip too. This
is,
so basically he and Rebecca had to have like a talk after she, I don't know, fucked up. Yeah. And so they're sitting across from each other at a dinner table, and Rebecca is, he's being manipulative as fuck. Anyways, he's being a dick and like doing that cold, hard, like, I'll talk to you when I'm good and ready, like his old mean father thing. He's being that guy, and she's freaking out and like breaking down. She's like, don't break up with me, don't leave me. And I don't know, and then but then he says all these nice things to her, so then I, you know, you forgive him for being a dick.
So. Yeah. I noticed how he was like, well, first of all, we did the whole recap, so like we got to the end where it clearly looks like she's about to like break up with him.
Yeah.
Because during that, I mean, it was very sweet that he forgave her, and he knows just as much as anyone else, like, she just attempted suicide. She's clearly at like a place in her life where she's rebuilding. Mm-hmm. And so like him being like, but you can't do anything like that again. Like, she's going to do something like that again.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to be, you know, willing to be part of like this conversation or this like you know project. She's a work in progress.
Yes, but that's a very good point to say, like, promise me you'll never do something like this again from someone like her is like setting her up to fail.
Yeah, I mean, that's too big of a leap. She can't change that much.
Promise me you'll try really hard,
right?
And you'll tell me right away.
But I mean, you know, it could, you
I'm
know,
liking him less, but no, it's
true. But like maybe that's why she realizes she has to break up with him, and then maybe he'll be like, wait, let me help.
I think he's going to be a sad puppy for a while.
Yeah.
So. But here's all the nice things he said.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not bad, you know? He's new to feelings.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, and he's like, yes, I think I will. I think I will forgive you.
And help.
Yes. Yes, I was. I really was.
The thing is, you and I are really different. But that's part of what I like about you. I feel closer to you than I have to basically anyone. And you make me feel like I could be a different kind of person, a person who expresses their feelings and cry movies and makes eye contact with homeless people.
So you're gonna forgive me?
Yeah, I think I will. But you have to promise never to do anything like that ever again.
I promise. I swear. This table's really long. I'm just
very
gonna,
long.
I'm just gonna
come over. Come on over.
So, whew, I got away with it.
The way he says, like, I think I will. It's like someone asked him if he wanted an English muffin.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Would you like some toast with your omelet?
I think I will.
But that's why he was being such a dick about it, because he's molding her into behaviors that he wants. Like, even if it's unconscious, like, that's what he's doing.
You're right. He had a manipulative father who probably manipulated the fuck out of his mother.
It comes so easy to him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, realize he's doing it. But also it comes easy to her, so it's fine. Yeah. I mean, they're a good match for each other, but
It's still very twisted, and she doesn't do well with control, like people controlling her.
Mm-hmm. Which is why she's gotta leave him.
Probably. She's starting to see, like, I don't know.
I feel like we're being a little hard on him. I don't know.
I mean, like, we're going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's being manipulative, but everyone, like, I don't feel like it's to the point where, like, she couldn't eventually call him out. I don't know. It's workable.
But in relationships, you set, like, boundaries, right? Or you need to at least let, like...
No more stalking my father.
Yeah. 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 That's a good start to the boundary.
Yeah. Well, up until this moment, I was like, he's so sweet. It's so mean of her to break up with him because he's being open and honest. Yeah. But now I'm like, oh, well, he's doing some shit too. So,
yeah. Whatever. You guys have opened my eyes a little bit because all I saw was the good. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's manipulation. Well,
they're being humans who are trying to.
They're trying.
Feel each other
out.
We've
had bad examples for all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I'm like,
that damn box.
Y'all don't know how to deal with love, even those two. But whatever.
As the great poet said, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
I still mostly come down on the side of, like, if she breaks up with him, it's mean. It's selfish because he's being very open and he's open to looking at the eyes of homeless people. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
So sweet.
She's at a point in her life where she kind of needs to be selfish.
Yeah. And you got to take care of you.
When you're recovering from something like that.
Yeah. Like, honestly selfish and not kind of like closet selfish.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how many episodes are left in this season?
Five.
Okay. So I feel like this episode was just like a low energy,
yeah, just like a setup for everything.
Slog, yeah, basically. Yeah. So we shall see.
Yeah, the next two episodes.
Ooh,
names.
You have names.
I have names. Actually, I did want to mention this episode. The recap for Google makes it sound so much more fun than I found it. the tag or the whatever the pitch is. Daryl embraces a newfound superpower. Paula schemes, and Rebecca wonders if history is repeating itself.
Oh,
that sounds cool. Yeah. I like that episode. Yeah. Wasn't so sold on it. I don't know. There are moments. But episode 9 is going to be Nathaniel gets the message.
Oh.
Oh.
There's an exclamation point on the end. So.
Oh,
damn.
So it's going to be
away from me.
Oh, no.
And then the other one also has, actually, all of these have Nathaniel needs my help. Nathaniel gets the message. And episode 10, Nathaniel, it's on. I'll have exclamation points.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
They're going to fight.
Or fight, then fight.
It's a pattern.
Fight shirtless because he's shirtless all the time now.
Well, that's because we all love it. And thank you very much, whoever does that.
We appreciate it. Please never put a shirt back on this man.
But let the man have fuzz again. He was so much cuter with a little fuzz.
It's because they're in California.
Yes. Say, that's probably the actor's decision. I don't know. Yeah. It's not a very feminist decision, so.
It's McConaughey Jr. He just, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to wear a shirt anymore.
All right.
And then the other tease to I'm going to make, or like the show keeps making, is that the 100th song is coming up next episode.
Okay.
So they've written 100 songs. So we can talk about all the songs briefly next week, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those, they say they have 100, but I'm like, well.
Oh, I've been dying to do our favorite songs episodes. So
yeah,
I'm into
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We'll do.
Bye. That's not one of my favorites.
I'm going to send everyone the 100 song list. And then we will all prep on that and not
this.
The episode at all. Because the episode sounds sad. I don't know. It's going to be nothing.
Well, we could do like a quick recap on the episode and be like, okay, we're done with that. Now, on to the songs.
Yeah, songs and Nathaniel deconstruction.
Oh, yeah.
Every episode from now on. But we'll be back in a week for all of that.
We love you.